Welcome to another ABC Radio National podcast. For more information, go to abc.net.au/rn.
Here with Lingua Franca now, I'm Maria Zylstra. Hi. Talking about a stateless language today, Romani. Spoken all over Europe, its Indic core indicates that this language of the Roma or Romani people originated in India, as Yaron Matras, Professor of Linguistics at the University of Manchester in the UK, attests.
Yes, that's right. Romani is an Indian language or an Indo-Aryan language. That means it's closely related to languages like Urdu, Hindi, Punjabi, Bengali. And that close relationship is still very apparent in basic vocabulary. So speakers can actually use words such as eat and drink and sit and go and understand one another at that level. And to specialists, if you know a little bit about historical linguistics and the way that languages change, you can also see very clear similarities in grammatical structures as well.
So can you enlighten us then as to its origins? I mean, how did this Indic language get to be in Europe and when?
Well, that's a very interesting question, and the problem there is that we can only rely on language to reconstruct that chain of events because there is no historical documentation, and there's also no collective memory. So among Romani populations, there is no story of how they came to Europe, and there's no written history either. But language tells us a story which allows us a partial reconstruction, not precisely, not to the date, not to the kilometer, but it can tell us both about the relative time and the regions through which the language passed. So looking at the language and comparing it with modern languages of India and the historical records of older Indian languages that we have from India, we can try and approximately determine which developments Romani shares with modern languages of India and when those developments took place. And that allows us to approximately figure out when the ancestors of the Romanis might have left India.
What's your best guesstimate? Yeah, you've done enough hedging.
Well, probably somewhere around the 8th or 9th century. But it's very difficult to say because the only thing we can rely on, of course, for the history of the language are texts. But texts don't represent the way that people actually speak necessarily. Written language is always more conservative. Mm-hmm. But that's our best guess, and there's pretty much consensus around that. Mm-hmm. Now, Romani also contains some loanwords from other languages, quite a few loanwords from Iranian languages, including both Persian and Kurdish, quite a few loanwords from Armenian, and many, many loanwords, including a lot of borrowed grammar, so grammatical features, from late Byzantine Greek.
So now, that reveals the route, perhaps, that was travelled.
Well, many scholars have interpreted it in that way and have suggested that the ancestors of the Roma first travelled to Persia, settled there for a few generations where they adopted Persian words, then they went on and settled in Armenia and adopted Armenian words, and then they went on and finally arrived in Greece, where they adopted Greek words, and then they dispersed throughout different regions in Europe. But there may be another explanation. It is quite possible that all these different layers of loanwords were adopted simultaneously in the same region, because all of those languages were spoken in Eastern Anatolia in medieval times. We mustn't think, of course, of the political boundaries of today. We have to think back 800 years at least, or 1,000 years. And during the late Byzantine period, Greek was the language of the administration and the elite in much of the Middle East, of course. And Greek was, in fact, spoken in Eastern Anatolia and Turkey today until the 1920s, and so was Armenian. And Kurdish, as an Iranian language, is still spoken in that area. But Turkish was not spoken there until the 12th century. So the fact that Romani doesn't have any Turkish loanwords is not surprising, even though We can assume that the initial settlement in the Byzantine period was in eastern Anatolia, which today is part of Turkey. So that's another possibility, and it's very difficult to decide what the correct answer was in the absence of any new evidence.
Oh, that's fascinating. And Romani today, it has many dialects spoken by various Rom groupings in different parts of Europe. You've described how they form a language continuum across Europe with neighbouring dialects mutually comprehensible. But they're more diverse as they're farther afield from each other. What distinguishes them from each other then? Is it the loan words that they've borrowed from the various parts?
There are both internal developments and developments that have to do with the contact languages, yes. So just like dialects of any other language that has communities that are dispersed and not in intensive contact with one another, you'll find that in one community a particular pronunciation becomes possible or becomes popular, in another community a different pronunciation becomes more popular. And so over time there is divergence, as we call it, and the dialects develop their own characteristics, even without the influence of foreign languages. In the case of Romani, of course, all adult speakers of Romani are bilingual. The Romani communities are always a minority, and so people always are fluent in the majority language and freely code switch. And that, of course, leads to the adoption of many features, including individual words, including also grammatical rules, including also manners of pronunciation into the individual Romani dialects. So both factors are involved in the differentiation of the varieties of Romani.
But the basic vocab and grammar is similar all over, east, west, north, south in Europe.
Yes, and most Romani dialects are mutually comprehensible, and the differences are gradual. So if you were to travel from southern Greece and all the way up to Lithuania, and stop on the way every 50 miles or so and find Romani people and speak to them, you'd notice gradual differences as you move on. It's somewhat different if you travel from east to west. The Romani dialects of Western Europe are quite distinct from those of Eastern Europe. And that probably has to do with the fact that during the period in which Romani populations began to settle in the different regions in Europe and to be exposed to different contact languages, that was also the period of war between the Ottoman Empire that ruled southeastern Europe and the Austro-Hungarian Empire that ruled in central Europe. And so that area was a border area, was a war zone, and people didn't cross over and there wasn't much contact. And the fact that there wasn't much contact meant that whatever developments occurred in the dialects, in the speech of the Roman southeastern Europe, didn't diffuse to the north and vice versa.
They were separate, yes.
Yes, and so we get two rather distinct groups of dialects in Romani.
Yeah. It is a stateless language. It doesn't belong to any country and therefore hasn't been standardized or codified. And that's another reason why it displays a linguistic diversity, a plurality that you say has resulted in some really positive processes for Romani users and researchers.
Well, Romani is developing what some people have referred to as a postmodernist codification process. And what that means in practical terms, whether you subscribe to this label or not, that by the very nature of the Romani community, it is polycentric. There is no central authority. There's no central government. There's no territory. There isn't even a prestige form. So among Romani people, there isn't any one Romani population that everybody will say, oh, their language is purer than we are. Everybody thinks that their own language is the best, and they tolerate the other variants as well. And that means that the old formula of creating a standard language based on either a prestige form or a form that is imposed by a government and propagated through the instruments of government, the education system and media, that doesn't work in the Romani population. And nevertheless, people are creative all over Europe. and beyond in the Americas as well, people are writing Romani and they're using their own dialect. They're using a writing system that is typically a kind of a compromise between the writing system of the respective majority language and some features of an international transliteration system that is used by linguists. So people are conscious of the need to have a bit of an international orientation so that people in other countries can also understand them, but also to make life easier on themselves and use the kind of alphabets that they're accustomed to. We usually find a kind of a compromise. And that means that there are many, many forms of written Romani, especially on web pages now. There's a proliferation of writing and publishing in Romani on web pages, certainly in oral speech. There's radio productions and media in different dialects of Romani, and sometimes radio programs on which people are communicating with one another in different dialects. So there's immigrants and so on. So there are many meeting places where people communicate across dialect boundaries. And that lends support and confidence to the idea that it is possible to communicate across dialect boundaries without forcing anybody to change or modify their speech, either in their oral use or in writing. And we mustn't forget that the young people who are using Romani now in writing are a generation who grew up with text messaging and emailing and blogging and all of those uses of written language, which are very similar to spoken language, where trial and error is okay. And the reward is not getting an A on the spelling test, but rather getting your message across. These are very pragmatic, practical people. They're happy to make compromises and they're happy to accommodate to others. And they're very skilled in doing that. And that means that we have a very, very dynamic, bottom-up kind of process of codification, a process that doesn't wait for a government to tell you or for a language academy to tell you what is right and what is wrong, but simply goes out and does it. And if there are misunderstandings, then people accommodate or try to correct. Now, until some years ago, people have turned to linguists and people from the Romani community, as well as multilateral organizations and foundations that tried to support literacy in Romani. I've turned to linguists and invited linguists to make suggestions on how to create a standard for Romani. And they said to us, well, you linguists have a model. You know how it works. You have a formula for how to create a standard. Do one for Romani. But I think many of us now, observing the Romani situation, have found out that, in fact, we don't need to help, or certainly we don't need to intervene. Rather, we can revise many of our theories and formulas on how to create a standard and adjust them to the kind of transnational situation and dynamic situation and technology-oriented situation that Romani people are using, where at the push of a button you can change the spelling system of an entire text if you want to, using a macro or something very, very simple like that. And there's no need, really, for unification, even in written language. And also, and that's the interesting social-political side of it, Romani people in the majority don't seem to even have a need for a standard as a symbol of national identity. It's really a grassroots-oriented literacy movement, and it isn't in need of any imposition of any symbol from a top authority.
Professor Yaron Matras, who, in this UN-designated International Year of Languages, is supporting linguistic diversity in his own work at the University of Manchester, studying various dialects of Romani as they're spoken in different European countries. The web resource of the Romani Project at the University of Manchester documents something like 100 dialects of Romani in transliteration and audio and maps. It's interactive and a great site to visit. Yaron Matras calls it a virtual home for the Romani language in place of a language academy. Go seek. There's a link from this week's Lingua Franca website. I'm Maria Zylstra. Do.
Listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.